Coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas, and recorded live, Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
Welcome back. It's so good to have you with us again as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, and open innovation. Today, our lead story. Face recognition systems are becoming as accurate as fingerprinting for law enforcement. And we're going to have that story in just a little bit. On this program also, you've heard us speak about the Global Humanitarian Technology Conference going on October 30th through November 1st. Well, we've got two speakers from that conference going to be with us today. First, we're going to hear from Molly Brown a little later on in the program. She's with NASA, the Goddard Space Flight Center, as a civil servant in 2008, studying biospheric sciences. And she's currently involved in a variety of projects that focus on expanding satellite remote sensing observations. And then, in the second half hour, Dr. Tracy Farrell, Senior Director of the Freshwater Initiative at Conservation International. And, of course, we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of, visit our fountain of useless information we have here on the set in the second half of the program. And, of course, at the end of the show, listener comments and the voice of reason. But right now, we want to get into our lead story, so let's get busy. Okay, right now I want to introduce you to Keith Rottershot of Cognitec Systems Corporation. Keith is a biometrics industry business development executive with 26 years' experience in automated biometric identification systems. And, he does everything from automated face recognition systems, automated fingerprint identification systems, and live scan fingerprinting, and we're going to get to know all about it. Welcome to the program, Keith.
Thank you so much.
Now then, you're a part of the Homeland Security Conference that IEEE is putting on in Boston here in November, and I understand there's going to be some pretty interesting things that you're going to get a chance to show off at the conference, and I'd like to know about them. This automated face recognition systems, can you fill us in on that?
Sure. Cognitec is the face recognition company in that we manufacture face recognition products for departments to use for matching face images against mugshot or other face repositories. And how we do that is through an algorithm that breaks down that face into a algorithmic formula and then match those against the databases. And at the conference, we plan on showing our new DB scan with Examiner. And with this product was actually developed for law enforcement. It is made to take crime scene surveillance image photos, correct them, enhance them, and then match them against a mugshot repository.
Well, this all sounds really pretty fascinating. Is it, you know, how fail-safe is it? I mean, I tell you the honest truth. I've got friends sometimes. I look at them at a distance, and I think one is the other. So, and that's just my own brain doing it. How does this face recognition work, and how reliable is it?
Well, as for reliability, what we do is we sell this product and market this product as an investigation tool. Mm-hmm. Because of the quality of the images that we're dealing with. Obviously, with facial recognition, today's facial recognition, when you're matching a photo quality or mugshot quality image against a like quality image, the accuracy rates are 99 point some percentage.
Wow.
But what we're doing with the Examiner product is we're taking crime scene, very low quality images, and we're trying to enhance them and then match them against the mugshot repository. And quite frankly, some of the enhancements we're doing first, we have available to us a probe enhancement that is called pose correction. And what pose correction does is it takes these off-angle images. If you envision a crime scene surveillance face image, they're almost never looking directly at the camera.
Sure.
So what we have to do is we have to do a 2D to 3D model of that face, turn the head to face forward so it'll match the mugshot repository, and then put it back into a 2D image so that we can match the mugshot repository. That's probably about 70% of all crime scene surveillance images, face images, that the police departments get are off-angle to about 70% of the time.
Yeah, we see these fuzzy images all the time on television about somebody breaking into a quick shop or something like that, and or stealing things from a warehouse, and it's very hard to pick out what the people really look like. But what you're saying then is that you can take these fuzzy images, you can do a 3D on them and turn them to face forward so that then you can match them up to maybe existing mugshots of pretty high quality that the police departments have on record. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct, Colonel. What we do in that is pretty intensive, software-intensive manipulation of these images. And we do keep an audit trail of all the enhancements we do to an image. For example, we could have an image that had a bad camera, has a quite frankly, a aspect ratio problem where the face is too long and that it's a camera problem. We can then enhance that to correct the aspect ratio problem and then do a further enhancement on the enhanced image to turn the head to face forward or any other filter that may be needed for that.
Keith, this is really fascinating stuff. We've had a guest on this program in the past several times, named Dennis Treese. He's the security head of security at Massport, the Massachusetts Port Authority there at Logan Airport. He's got a camera that he claims will be able to read a lapel pin on somebody's lapel at 100 meters. Now, I would suppose that if the FBI or local police departments or something were looking for a fugitive, your software, in conjunction with that type of camera, could be absolutely invaluable. Do you see that as an application?
Well, most definitely. And quite frankly, what's led to our development of the Examiner product is the fact that these high-definition or megapixel cameras are being installed in these surveillance capture areas.
Mm-hmm.
And what that allows them to do is it give us an image with enough pixel count in the image to manipulate it and or to just match it as it comes off the camera. So you're absolutely correct that camera technology is leading our facial recognition product technology. And it's quite fascinating because Security Magazine last year did a poll of all the video management system vendors, and they asked what they're seeing from their end users as the number one request for what they want to see in a VMS or a video management system. And by a huge margin, it was high definition or megapixel cameras. So it's really working out well for the installation of those cameras to allow us to get at least a quality enough image that we can work with it.
And I understand Cognitech Systems Corporation is really from Germany, but we're going to get a chance to see a demonstration of this technology at the Homeland Security Conference that's going on in Boston in the middle of November. It's going to be right there on site, is that right?
That is correct, and also we'll be showing FaceVac video scan, and in addition to DBScan Examiner. And video scan is another product of Cognitech, and video scan actually is a real-time screening product. And what that means is it allows a user to create a watch list of people that they're looking for or persons of interest, and then we hook up live cameras to this system. And every time a face, a person walks in front of that camera and their face is captured, we'll match that real time against this watch list database to tell you that someone just walked by this camera. We know from the IP address of the camera what camera they walked by this camera, and they are on the watch list. Here's his image today, here's his file image, here's any needed demographics on that. And we're seeing a real need for this, quite frankly, in the transportation industry, in airports, in bus terminals, train terminals, that type of thing, as well as banking, retail. The casinos have used this technology for years.
Oh, really?
So it's also going to be displayed at the conference.
So this motion recognition camera could be system could be extremely valuable when looking for a fugitive or a suspect that you think might be in a particular area. And then is there an alarm that goes off that alerts people that, hey, there's something going on over here. Is that right?
Yes, most definitely. What it is we have an alert center within the product, and the alert center will register the hit on the individual in the watch list. At that time, it can trigger an email out to the officer's PDAs with the information from that hit. For example, like I just said, the camera location, the image of the person today, image of his file image, that type of thing, to help the officer react in a very timely manner.
Okay, now, live scan fingerprinting, I got a kind of an idea about what that is. It's security, so that if my fingerprint is on a record or thumbprint or whatever can be used to identify me, that I can get into maybe secure areas by just scanning my fingerprint. Is that right?
No, that's not actually what it is. Live scan fingerprinting was developed for the law enforcement community. It's what I did in a past job position. Uh-huh. And what it was taking electronic fingerprinting rather than using ink and sending them in real time to a central repository, fingerprint APHIS repository, to match for bookings of that individual, so that you could do a real-time identification on him before you cut the person loose and know who you are releasing.
Okay, all right, I understand. Now, what's this automated fingerprint identification system then?
Actually, that's how I started my career, was in APHIS, Automated Fingerprint Identification System. That is the same as what we're talking about with face, but it preceded face recognition. APHIS has been around since the early to mid-80s in its present form, and it allowed these police departments and other agencies that have fingerprint repositories to match their fingerprints, rather than having a 10-print examiner or a latent fingerprint examiner spend untold hours going through the files to figure out who this individual was that left this fingerprint at a crime scene, or whose fingerprints are at a booking facility somewhere within their system.
All right, but the big exciting thing that we're going to see at the show is the automated face recognition system. Is that right?
Most definitely. Cognitech only does face recognition.
All right, now, what is the, you're talking about the recent NIST FR testing results. It was on the list of things that we wanted to cover this morning. Can you get into that for us?
Sure. The National Institute of Standards and Technology, it's a federal government agency, tests facial recognition vendors' algorithms and systems every couple of years. They did one in 2002 called the Face Recognition Verification Test. They did one in 2006, which was the face recognition verification test. And they did one last year, 2010, which was called the multi-biometric evaluation. And Cognitech always participates in this testing. And we feel that all vendors, facial recognition vendors, should be tested. And the results, this is an independent test. The results are always published. And Cognitech always ranks at the top because of the strength of our algorithm. And I will go into our algorithm just briefly. It's very technical, but we are different in that we don't use a local feature algorithm. In other words, we're not looking for specific points of interest on a face. So several of the other vendors have gone that route and have gotten good results from local features. But they're somewhat limited in the points of interest in a face to about 70, maybe 80 points of interest in a face. Cognitech, on the other hand, is a pattern recognition company. And by that, I mean that we're actually looking at each individual pixel. And what that allows us to do, based on the resolution of the image, is have up to 7,000 points of interest on a face that we can use to match against the repository. And this pattern recognition has allowed Cognitech to be very accurate in facial recognition matching, and that has been proven in the FRVT test and last year's MBE test. And last year's MBE test was quite different than the first two FRVTs in that they used very large databases. The first two FRVTs used very small repositories of 1,200 or 2,000 images. Last year's MBE actually used millions of images.
Wow.
And they used different data sets.
Wow.
They used data sets called the LEO data set, which is law enforcement or FBI mugshot bookings. They used the U.S. Department of State images from passports and other areas that they've collected face images. And it's a much more real-world test in that today's facial recognition systems that we're installing are in the millions of records. For example, we have a system in Mexico that's sized at 89 million records. We have several states, DMVs, Department of Motor Vehicle, repositories, photo repositories that are in the millions of records. So it's good that the MBE test finally is testing against a large enough database to make it a real-world test.
Oh, yeah, I would. I can see that and why it's so important, especially if you're dealing with people that look very much alike, like identical twins and something like that. Does that throw you a curve, or are you able to get around that too?
Well, with our pattern recognition algorithm, we are able to tell the difference between identical twins because we're using so much more data to do our matching and comparison. But twins are always going to be a problem. And again, you know, if you're matching a what's called an IKO, ISO, or NIST standard image, that's a photo or mugshot image that has 90 to 120 pixels between the eyes. It's called inter-eye pixel density. If you have that 90 to 120 pixels, it's very easy to get very confident search results, even when comparing to very similar persons. It's these very low-quality images that we're now trying to enhance and match that really are pushing the facial recognition technology to its limits.
And I understand you've got some VAR partners around the world. Can we talk about them a little bit? Who's using this equipment, and what are some of the applications that your VARs are doing?
Sure. We have probably the best VAR community in the facial recognition business, and they include, obviously, the big names of the Lockheeds and the Northrops and SAICs and other vendors, and vendors that are less known but nonetheless very, very competent vendors in that FaceFirst is a relatively new vendor that is using our technology, and they're seeing some fascinating implementations for their product, and again, using our core technology. The VARs are integral part to Cognitech's business. Quite frankly, we've made our business model dependent on providing the VARs, the value-added resellers, with our technology so that they can go out and do the projects that they're bidding on and winning. So
what they actually do is take what you have and install it and make it work and do the testing, and you guys do the development of these systems. Is that right?
Well, we do, and our VARs also, just as the name implies, they add value. They've enhanced our product, done certain things that certain projects require that our base products don't provide. They've enhanced our product with those added features and actually made the product better. So we're always glad to see our VARs undertake a very, very difficult project and be successful in it, because what it does is it moves the technology forward in their development. The product that the newest and the most innovative, I believe, is FaceVac DBScan with Examiner at this time, only because, I mean, we're seeing just some unbelievably difficult image enhancement, and with the results we're seeing from that, it's very promising for what law enforcement can do with this product. In addition to the FaceVac DBScan with Examiner and the FaceVac video scan that we discussed, we also, Cognitech also has a product called FaceVac Portrait Acquisition. Mm-hmm. And Portrait Acquisition is a product that we sell to, again, to DMVs, to passport agencies, to other agencies. And what it does is when you're taking a photo, whether it's a photo that's going to go onto a driver's license, any type of credentialing, driver's license, passport, whatever, there's standards as to how that image should look and what type of resolution, what type of facial expressions and that are needed on that for facial recognition. Mm-hmm. And what we do with Portrait Acquisition is we check the quality of that image. It's a quality assessment of that image to see that it meets either the ISO, IKO, or NIST standard for photo or mugshot acquisition. So it's a nice product. Like I said, the DMVs, the passport offices, it's credentialing is a huge part of facial recognition at this time. I was around in the early days of automated fingerprint identification systems, and the implementation of those systems and the impact it has had on law enforcement and other industries can now be duplicated with facial recognition, because we're now getting facial recognition accuracy to a level where we're confident we can do it as the same manner as fingerprint identification.
Well, Keith Ridershot, the Senior Sales Manager for Cognitech Systems Corporation, going to be at the IEEE Homeland Security Conference in November. We're really looking forward to seeing you there and seeing this remarkable face recognition system that you're going to be showing at the conference. And I want to thank you enormously for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much, Colonel, and I do appreciate the ability to reach your listeners.
We're real lucky, because today we have Molly Brown. Molly joined NASA in 2008 at the Goddard Space Flight Center as a civil servant in the Biospheric Sciences branch. She's currently involved in a variety of projects that focus on expanding satellite remote sensing observations. And welcome to the program, Molly.
Thank you very much, Cole.
Well, tell us about what you're going to be talking. I understand you've submitted a paper on remote sensing data and models for improved targeting of humanitarian aid, and can you elaborate for us on that?
Yes, I've been involved in using satellite remote sensing to understand the impacts of weather on food production across the continent of Africa for more than a decade now. Mm-hmm. I started here at Goddard actually as a student, and then I worked my way up to a contractor, and then I was taken on as a civil servant. So I have a long experience with using technology to illuminate the variation, to really illuminate how people are threatened by variations in food production.
Okay, so you're using satellite imagery to show how people are influenced on food production because of lack of water or too much sun or global warming or... And I must say, Molly, that's some pretty fascinating stuff, and we want to pick up where we left off on that when we come back after this quick break at the half hour. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers, will we meet today?
Aye, sir, Schopenhauer. All truth goes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Then, it is violently opposed. Finally, it is accepted as self-evident.